Hey everybody, happy Tuesday and welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show. We're back after a good weekend. It's April 23rd, a week clear of taxes being in. That's a good feeling.
Have you been sleeping better now that that's done?
Not because of that. I haven't been better somehow, but that's a different story. Weather was not good this weekend. It was terrible. Actually, it was really hot Saturday, and then it was terribly rainy and cold the next day. It was indecisive weather, and it was not nice either day for watching soccer, which is what I did all weekend. I went to, I think, four different games just for the kids. So I didn't really do anything. It was just that kept us hot. How about you, Doug?
Has it gotten cold? It got really cold here the last couple days.
Yeah, well, we had one cold, rainy day. That was terrible. And then yesterday and today. No, yesterday was... Yeah, yesterday and today have been cool. Cool off. Not too hot, not too cold.
The last two mornings when I got up to meet some friends for a run, so yesterday and today, I had to scrape ice off my car window.
Oh my gosh.
Which I'm not excited about that. I like the winter, but I'm done. I'm ready. I'm ready to move on.
Right. Right. No one likes the end of winter. Beginning of winter is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And the end is bad. All right. Some people are checking in here. Britters, Kate, Phyllis Hauser, Daniel P, Garuda Legends, Jeff Hudnall, Dale Stevens. That's who said hello this morning. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for showing up. Hope you all had a nice weekend. Doug, you mentioned to me cupping that you did.
That's right.
You have leftover marks of it all over you?
I do. I'm all circled up on my back.
Okay.
I got a massage on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Which was great, and we were they do a little intake before they get started, and she asked if I wanted some cupping done, and so I said, yeah, sure, why not? And it was really interesting. It was cool. Have you ever had that done before?
No, I thought it was like the domain of Olympic athletes only. I didn't know any regular people even did cupping. I've only seen Saul Michael do it, a couple others. That's it.
No, I mean, I guess they just kind of offer it as part of their services here at the massage therapy.
And what is the point with it to do?
So it like it separates the your skin and like the fascia, the connective tissue between your muscles and your skin. Uh-huh. I think it kind of loosens that up, which is supposed to be good. And then I think it also when you're pushing down, it's like restricting blood flow. But when you're sucking in, it is like adding blood flow, which is maybe why athletes use it.
Okay.
I don't really know very much. That's like the max I know about it. So someone mm-hmm. here can speak more intelligently about it, I'm sure. But what was cool was that she worked my back and then did the cups and then like moved on to other parts of my body, my legs and stuff, but left the cups on there. And so like it was kind of this pressure on my back that continued on while mm-hmm. I was getting my legs worked on. And so I don't know, it's just kind of a nice little like addition to the massage experience.
Mm-hmm. It didn't hurt?
No. It feels like someone's pushing in, applying some fairly intense pressure, but doesn't hurt.
Right.
No. Huh. And then you're left with giant like hickey marks basically on your back.
Yeah. I used to get that with those little pop rubber things that you would shoot and that flip over. Yeah. I would put those on my skin for a while, and that's how I would do cupping when I was a kid. Apparently, it's a thousands of year old tradition used to treat pain and other symptoms. There's some science showing it's good, but they're generally low quality studies. So don't really know yet if it's a legit thing or not. But
but it's good. What is really, what's a legit thing?
Yeah, true. What is? Well, some things are. okay, good. You get to the gym this morning post-cupping? Lift a little more?
No, I didn't. I've run both mornings, but I'm going to try to hit the gym tomorrow.
All right, good.
Let's see. Britter says they've done cupping. I prefer ask them. What's that? A-S-T-Y-M?
East them is when you do the... E stimulation, but I don't think it's spelled with a Y and certainly not an A. So I don't know what that is. All right, good. Glad to hear it. All right. So what else, Doug? Anything else? Any other big news today? I don't have anything. I think I'm trying to think what we cooked and ate. I feel like I made some stuff. I made a couple stir fries and things, but nothing too good. I don't know. What about you? Anything else?
No, really nothing. It's kind of a very low key weekend.
And people here, I don't know, not everyone here was at the Friday show when you revealed the details about your big dinner with Rip, when you showed up as the representative of Black Mountain, handed the key to the city over to the Plant Strong movement. Yeah,
exactly.
You have keys to the city to give out to anybody, or is that?
I don't know if we've ever done that before. I mean, we could. Why
you
not?
You personally don't have a handful of keys. You're allowed to.
I have a key ring with all of the keys to the city hanging in my living room. No. No, I don't know that we've ever done that. Maybe.
Well, you could.
But you know, it's good to represent, be a local at one of these big events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said on Friday, they're coming back in a couple months and doing like an even bigger one. So
right.
You know, that's cool.
Good. All right. Glad to hear. All right. Well, I guess we will just get into it since there's not a whole lot of extra stuff to fill the intro time.
You haven't teased anything today. So do you want to hit on what we're talking about or no?
Teasing. Oh, I forgot to tease anything. Yeah. I mean, the big thing, it's almost not worth the tease because it's what comes up all the time. It just so happens that now there's some data in about the plant-based meat sales that are continuing to disappoint. We'll talk about how and why. I kind of thought they were bouncing back. I had the sense that they were bouncing back, and they might be because the data that we'll discuss is based on last year's full data. Like that, I don't know why it took so long to get that data in, but now it is. They've concluded that it's not growing. But anyway, there's a few signs, you know, like the Lidl saying 30% increase in plant-based sales since they rolled out a new store brand, I think of it, and whatever, 6 months ago. So there's some stuff happening, but we'll talk about that in a bit. In the meantime, we got the weather report, which actually does feature its own bit of plant-based meat news. So here we go. Impossible Foods has announced their newest endeavor. It's the Impossible Ranch. They bought a 60-acre former cattle ranch in South Carolina, my home state. And what they are doing there is they're repurposing the land. I don't know what they did with the cattle. Maybe it was already defunct and they didn't have to do anything with the cattle. But they're using the land to cultivate the crops that are essential to making their product. So now we can know it all comes from a farm. They're cultivating soybeans, sunflowers, and coconut trees. That coconut, I guess, is for the coconut oil. So I guess they aren't planning on shifting away from that like Beyond has done. Sunflower is also sunflower oil. So maybe they will make a sunflower oil version of it. I don't know if sunflower oil is in the original one.
Basically, they took a cattle ranch and turned it into a farm, which has probably been done millions and millions of times before.
Yes, but they named it Impossible Ranch. I saw a big picture of like the inside of it, and they have a huge sign that says Impossible Ranch. Looks kind of fancy. I don't know. I'm not sure what the deal is, but I don't know. They're hyping it up, and they're going to do some social
media. Are you going to host events? I mean, like, is it a place that you would want to go to? And like,
well, I looked at that because I'm in South Carolina. I thought that wouldn't be too far, probably only 4 to 5 hours in any direction till I'm at the end of the state. So I could get to that thing. But I didn't see anything about like people being invited to come try cultivated meat or something. That's what I was really looking for.
So the big news is they started a farm.
Yeah, it is. But it looks cool. I'm telling you, they have a big lobby. It looks like a Jurassic Park situation where it's like cool, high-tech place, wave of the future kind of things going on there.
Yeah. So, Mr. Jeffrey and Britters both thought what I thought when I first read the headline here, which was that it was ranch dressing, that they were getting in on the ranch dressing.
Yeah, I thought that when I first wrote the headline that it sounded like ranch. I thought in this case, I made it clear that it wasn't that, but I guess not clear enough. Anyway, that's happening. So I'm saying that's good news. Doug, are you an anti-seed oil person? I don't know why I have this sense that like you would just fall for that.
Ouch.
I don't know why.
But yeah, I get it. I'm anti-seed oil for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, of course I am. It's toxic.
You avoid it. Okay. Good.
No, absolutely not. Although I am a little offended, you would assume that I am.
Well, on Friday you had that, you listened to that economist on NPR and you're like, oh, he's an economist on NPR. He must speak only truth, cannot question, cannot think for myself with economists saying something. And he said, it doesn't matter if all the whole world goes vegan, there will be no chicken saved. And Doug believes it. So that's why I thought maybe you wouldn't eat seed oils.
No, that is not what I said. The whole world going vegan would save chickens. No doubt about it. That's not what I said. I'm still trying to find the thing. I contacted NPR to see if they could give me a link, and they said they would pull it, give it to me.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it on the web. But no, I'm not anti-seed oil for sure. I mean, then that would like cut in all my tater tot consumption and stuff like that. So,
right. To be honest, I haven't looked closely at the seed oil stuff, but I've seen who makes the arguments, and I've seen that primarily the argument they make is they show a graph and they show when seed oils were introduced and they show when people's health started getting terrible, completely ignoring the fact that when the seed oils were introduced is also when all of processed food, you know, ultra processed food happened. So right. To say it's seed oils, that's the problem, is ridiculous to me. It's everything. It's all that food. So I'm not saying seed oils are necessarily good or refined oil good, but it's just part of the whole situation.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's better data than that. I honestly haven't looked that much into the argument.
No, I mean, it's all like the Paul Saladinos that are pushing the seed oil.
Exactly. All right. Next thing.
Fall for the seed oil.
All right, this is kind of cool. MYOM, I don't know if it's Myom or if it just said MYOM, because it's all capital letters. UK-based company. They've developed a way to make oat milk even more environmentally friendly. It is an oat paste, a shelf-stable oat paste that they say turns into sensational full-bodied oat milk when you combine it with water. A 65-gram pouch that produces 500 milliliters of oat milk. So you got to have a pouch that I guess gets thrown away every time you make 500 milliliters. 500 milliliters, I think, is probably around 20 ounces.
Not very much.
Not a ton for having to throw away a pouch. But I don't know. What is sustainable about this? You know better than I. What is this? I mean, it doesn't save water because you got to put the water in anyway yourself.
Packaging. Maybe the pouches are more environmentally friendly, and then they can ship it in smaller, you know, like it takes up less space during shipping and less weight.
Right. And even if the pouches material wasn't any different, it's possible that a carton, whatever, you know, is more per milliliter than these pouches are.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense since they're not putting water in the pouches. It's just the stuff. So, yeah, sounds good. I think to go really sustainable, you should put it in like a jar or something where you can just scoop out a little bit of the paste.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And that over time. But anyway, that's kind of cool. I mean, I don't imagine this would be bad or gross or anything. I could see myself doing this instead of just having a carton of oat milk in the fridge. And somehow it seems like it would taste. I don't know why. It just seems like it wouldn't really be gross or something. Somehow some of this stuff, if you imagine making it at home, it wouldn't seem so attractive. But I don't know. It seems like it would be okay.
Not a sponsor plug or anything like that, but I did have some of the new Plant Strong oat milk.
Okay.
They just released their own line that's, I think, probably only available in Whole Foods, maybe on their website. Mm-hmm. And it was delicious. It was actually like some of the better oat milk that I've had, and it's certainly a cleaner or a very clean label that they, ingredient list that they have. So, I don't know. It kind of gave me a little bit of a newfound appreciation for oat milk, which I never, ever buy, but would consider buying this.
Very good. All right. And that's Plant Strong's oat milk?
Yeah.
And it's clean label.
Yes. Well, you know, it's the Plant Strong philosophy, right? So no oil, no gums.
Did they put you said no gums?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Can't remember.
See, I knew they were against like oils and food ingredients like that. I never really knew where they fell on like the ultra processed food side of things. Like, do they not use preservatives, gums, stuff like that? That would, you know, make.
I don't want to say that there's no gum without actually looking a little more deeply, but let's see. Their unsweetened oat contains filtered water, whole grain oats, calcium carbonate, salt, and B12.
Okay, good. Very good.
What's calcium carbonate? Is that a gum?
I don't know. I've heard of it. Hear about it all the time. I don't think it's anything bad. It's probably some common substance. Is it baking soda maybe? No, it's an inorganic salt primarily used to manage and treat low calcium conditions.
Yeah, I mean, right. So basically, water, oats, salt.
It's good.
And B12.
Yep, it's good. All right, good. On to the next. Recent study has been published Oh, you know what? I pulled this and I didn't follow through. It got too boring for me to keep putting in. The upshot of it is that there was a study published in Nutrition, Health, and Aging. They looked at 597 Spanish adults, and they looked at those eating three predefined PVG diets. Those means pro-vegetarian diets. And I couldn't quite get to the bottom of what they meant by pro-vegetarian. It sounds like plant-forward kind of diets. What they found, without me having the details here, is that those who adhered to the healthy version of the pro-vegetarian diet depicted lower mortality risk, while those with the higher unhealthy PVG diet displayed higher risk from these conditions. So no surprise there, but we've talked about before, it's kind of good when people do this separation of these good and bad plant-based diets. That's how you get that plant-based meat out of there. So we don't have to let that water down the goodness of our diet. Okay. And let's see, we've got more here. Lawsuit, Doug, we love lawsuits on this show. Hydrox is suing Oreo. It's actually not, it's their parent company, their owner, Leaf Brands, is suing Mondelez, which is the owner of the Oreo brand. I guess that's a huge food brand. I don't know. Anyway, they say that the Oreo manufacturer is intimidating retailers and instructing workers who restock its cream-filled chocolate cookies in stores to hide, misplace, or move the Hydrox to less desirable locations. Come to think of it, you never see the Hydrox anywhere. They're not on the shelf visible, but you see them at like random like office events or something if they have it in the little snacks. But you don't see the Hydrox in the stores, I don't think. So I'm saying they're right.
What are Hydrox?
You don't know Hydrox? They're like an Oreo that is just like, I always thought it was a knockoff Oreo, but it turns out Hydrox was actually founded, or they invented and I think marketed 4 years prior to the Oreo back in 1908 or something. Wow,
I'm looking at this packaging. I've never seen it once in my life, I don't think. You can get this at the grocery store?
Yeah, you just don't see it a lot. Like, it just, I don't know where you see them. I was thinking like events and things, like when people have to buy large quantities of stuff, I think they tend to get the cheaper brand. The Hydrox are definitely cheaper, but they seem like the same thing. They don't seem any different from Oreos. I would assume they're still vegan, but I haven't had one in years and years, so I don't really know.
Interesting.
But to me, they always tasted just as good as Oreos. They were like a perfect copy. Maybe now I'd be a little more discerning palate. But I don't know. So you don't know about Hydrox. Okay. Then that won't be that big.
I don't recognize Hydrox at all. And they are vegan, certified vegan. Yeah, interesting. I mean, you know, you see the Numinos next to
you. See Numinos now, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think in my head I've kind of replaced Hydrox with Numinos as like.
But Numinos are like more expensive than Oreos.
They're more because they're probably organic or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going on. Hydrox suing Oreo. That's never good. Never want infighting. We haven't talked too much about Slutty Vegan recently. Still continuing their world domination, climb. And it turns out now, Pinky Cole, the founder, she's sponsoring the prom of Benjamin E. Mays High School. I had to dig into Atlanta local news to find this one. She says, I'm paying for the entire prom, so you don't have to pay for nothing. Auditorium filled with Mays High School seniors, she told this. People are pumped because they had to pay $250 before this for a prom ticket, plus their attire, transportation. I assume she's not covering that kind of stuff, but $250 for a prom ticket? That's bizarre.
That's crazy. I think ours was probably like $30, maybe $20.
That's probably what I think we paid, about 30. Covered the band, covered maybe a little bit of food.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's wild. Well, that's cool. I guess is she going to bring supply of the food and everything?
I don't know about that.
Food. Wonder if there are any parents up in arms that they would be serving vegan food at a...
That's a good point. I mean, I don't know. You don't usually eat dinner at a prom, right? You eat dinner ahead of time.
No, but they definitely have, you know, snacks and stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I like to see it. Like, she's giving back like this.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Why don't we sponsor a high school prom?
Why don't we? Yeah, the Plant-Based Morning Show should step in.
Yeah.
Pay $250 per ticket for 1,000 kids.
Yeah. Hosted a year in Black Mountain at a local gymnasium or something.
So we got to move the prom to a location we can afford.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like outside in a park. It was like a $40 rental fee for the pavilion.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, those pesky vegan protesters are at it again. In this case, they have unfurled a banner on Trent Bridge, which is, I think, I think this is famous. In Nottingham, UK, on Earth Day, they did it. Monday, April 22nd. We didn't mention Earth Day, though. Did you forget Earth Day was yesterday?
No, we celebrated a compliment. Sent out an email.
Oh, yeah. Promo. I didn't get that. I don't think I checked my email yesterday. Anyway, I forgot it was Earth Day until today, and I saw the news and things that it was. But PETA supporters did this. The reason they did it, they're mad that the Nottingham City Council has planned to make Nottingham the UK's first carbon neutral city by 2028. Why would they possibly be angry about that, Doug? What could vegans find to be upset about with that?
Well, it must not be, they must not be pushing for the vegan diet, right?
Exactly. PETA said to reach this goal, the city council made no mention of eating more vegan foods. They just, I don't know what they mentioned doing instead.
My goodness.
But they still, it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. You have to eat vegan foods. I think it's got to be a part of this. But all we know is that the city council has announced their plans to do this. They didn't say like what everyone has to do or anything. They just said they plan to do this. And I mean, I don't know. I don't have the details. But I just saw this and I was like, come on, people. It's just too much. The banner said, go vegan or we will all die. So it put a little bit of a somber tone maybe on it. And I just think you drive by that banner and you think, I do not want to be one of those vegans. No, I mean, it's just, I'm out. But like, I see that and I'm thinking, if I was not a vegan and I saw that, I'd say I would just be shoved further away from this movement because I would not want to be part of people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. I wish people would stop this kind of protesting. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I am with you. What do you think about, you know, I would say that 10 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong here, or let me know if you disagree, but 10 years ago, vegan protests were all about animal cruelty. Now, a lot of it's about the environment. And so, and it's hard to say whether environmentalists have gone vegan and now kind of adopted that as one of their like messaging strategies, or if vegans have hijacked the environmental movement and are now kind of, you know, you can't talk about the environment without also talking about a vegan diet.
I bet it's that. I mean, that sounds like what this is, right? This is PETA, who the ethical treatment of animals is right in their name. And they're jumping on this thing. This is now an opportunity to help save animals by getting in on all the environmental stuff. I don't know if a lot of environmentalists have started to go vegan. It seems that like 5 or 10 years ago, it was kind of the elephant in the room, like that none of them were vegan and they just didn't want to talk about it because it was too inconvenient to have to go vegan. Is that, do you have any sense? Is that the case in the Black Mountain?
I remember in DC, because some of my good friends worked for like an environmental nonprofit and they were vegetarian. They weren't vegan, but they were vegetarian. And I think a lot of their friends were. So I think there was this kind of sense that like, if you want to walk the walk, there's some sort of food systems responsibility there, but, but not vegan. I mean, I knew very few vegans at the time.
Right. Well, I don't think you have to go vegan to save the environment. I think you have to eat a whole lot less meat. You have to go flexitarian, which no one actually is because there's no real definition of it. So I think it gets stretched all the time. Garuda just chimed in. The planet will be fine, and veganism does not help the climate at all. Doug, would you like to respond to that?
Agree to disagree.
Okay. I wonder if Garuda, tell us about seed oils. I'm curious if you're on the seed oil anti.
Oh, he did already.
Oil. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And what's the side?
Take your guess. What's your guess?
Well, I think Garuda would be on the side of seed oils. That's, I think in general, he's on those sides. But Garuda also does pay attention to the science. And so I would like to know, I'd like to know the evidence. That's what I want to see, Garuda. So please put a link to evidence studies that demonstrate this issue. I don't want theories like this, seed and vegetable oil and how they do to it being rancid from oxidizing. I know that happens with a lot of things. I don't know if does animal oil not oxidize? I'm not sure. But I agree that oxidation is bad in olive oil. What I want to see is some data that shows people eating seed oils get less healthy than people eating, you know, other oils, particularly if they're not eating other processed foods, because that's my problem with most of that evidence. Anyway, I think that's it. I think that's
all the end. All lipids go through oxidation.
All lipids. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense. But you do people say that animal oils are better. The people in this camp, you know, who are anti-keto, they say somehow those are better, as if they are immune to oxidation. Anyway, enough of that. That's our weather report. There we go. What do we got? Anything else? Anything to talk about here, Doug, before we move on? Oh, I forgot one. Forgot one tiny little thing.
Oh, yeah.
A nice little uplifting ending. Pepsi is rolling out limited edition peach and lime flavors geared towards summer grilling, the beverage giant said in a statement. Doug, are you excited about that? Will you be featuring any lime or peach Pepsi at your barbecues? No. You like flavors. You like toppings. You like jamming needless.
Yeah. That sounds good. For some reason, I have like this thing against Pepsi. No, there's no reason behind it. But if I'm going to buy a soda, it's certainly not going to be a Pepsi. It's going to be a Coke product.
Okay.
I'm
indifferent. I still have this sense from being marketed to it as a child that Pepsi is like the younger, hipper beverage. And Coca-Cola is more for old people who like play bingo and stuff. But, you know, when I taste them, and when I was a kid, I thought Pepsi tasted better. But I think that was just the marketing had gotten me. But now these days, I don't care. I don't think I even notice the difference when I get them.
I heard an ad on a podcast for Cheerwine yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's funny.
And so they must be really branching out. Maybe they're trying to go big.
Maybe. Hope not. Hope they don't sell out.
Yeah. It's amazing that no one's purchased. Who owns Cheerwine? Are they really like independent?
Independent. I don't know. I have this sense that they are, but not really sure. Okay. Find that out for us. And I will look at the comments. British says Coke is far superior, but has to be Mexican cola in the glass bottle for sure. But see, that's not fair because you're not comparing it to a Mexican Pepsi in a glass bottle. I want to know American Coke versus American Pepsi or the two Mexican versions if you'd like.
Do you think that that's true? Like, can you tell the difference between Mexican Coke and regular Coke? I know it's so much more popular and like people swear up and down by it.
I think that glass bottle is a massive placebo effect. That I don't like. I mean, this gets into the deeper question of like experience and placebo and like what is the experience? Because like those fancy wine glasses, those Riedel glasses that apparently direct the different wines to different parts of your tongue and they get the aroma the right way, all that stuff. People will rate that they enjoy their wine more when they have that, right? So let me finish that. They will rate that they enjoy their wine more, but the science will show that there is zero difference between the experience of that drinking it and the other, as far as where the stuff goes in your taste buds or what is detected or whatever. So it is entirely a placebo effect, but it leads to more enjoyment. So I'm guessing that there's a large part of that when you drink out of a cold glass bottle, that this just seems like a nicer thing, even though what's the liquid inside maybe is identical or could be identical and you wouldn't notice. Yeah. That's my sense. But I mean, I think one's made with real sugar and one's made with high fructose corn syrup, so it could be a taste difference.
Yeah. British says you can absolutely tell the difference. Mexican colas taste sweeter to me. There you go.
Okay.
Cheerwine does appear to be an independent company still, which is
okay.
And I would say, what's your summer drink? What's going to be your spring drink? Have you switched like beverages? What you're interested in at all?
Like alcohol drinks?
Anything? Alcohol, non-alcohol? Do you switch with the seasons?
No. I mean, maybe around Christmas time I'll drink something a little different. I don't know. I have a new theory that red wine specifically makes me sleep badly, and that this could be is what has confounded my previous like informal studies about alcohol and sleep, is that they're always inconclusive when I do them. But now I'm wondering, maybe it's the type of alcohol that matters, because I've heard it suggested that red wine is worse than other things for sleep. So I may try drinking a little more red wine. What?
Have you stopped drinking red wine?
No, but when I take a night off of it, I sleep better. But not consistently. I mean, it's hit or miss.
Interesting.
Yeah. What about you? You got a drink of choice? Cheer wine? Tea?
No, but I feel like I'm going to be into the kind of the fruit cocktail, or like the like citrusy cocktails this summer. I can just feel it already.
Like you make your own cocktails at home?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Or like when I go out and have a drink.
Mm-hmm. I never, ever, ever have made a cocktail at my house for myself. to drink.
Really?
Don't think so. I don't know why. I mean, I might every now and then get it out, like twice a year, but I would just never. I don't know. Don't you have to buy a lot of stuff, like olives and all that?
Like, it depends on what cocktails you're making, but. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Vegan Stallion says, I don't drink soda. I can't believe people drink it every day, much less for breakfast, which they do.
That's right.
We found out. Also really into blind taste testing. It sorts things out. And when they blind taste tested wines, people preferred the cheaper wine. I'm sure that has happened. I don't think that universally happens because they blind test wines all the time. But especially a non-wine drinking consumer, I think those cheaper wines, grocery store wines, are made for the taste buds of a cheaper consumer, and they're going to like it better. All right. On to the next thing. The big stuff today. This is bad news. We talked about this so much that it almost seems like it's not worth talking about. But because the tide had started to seem to shift, it seemed that it might be worth bringing up again. The data is, and this is from fooddive.com, who not an anti-plant-based site by any means, generally neutral, good food industry news. Plant-based meat sales continue to decline as consumers demand lower prices and higher quality. Only 15% of U.S. households purchased the products in 2023. That is not many. They declined for the second year in a row. This is according to Good Food Institute's State of the Industry report. And usually I think they might rose-color plant-based things. But in this case, they do not. Or maybe it was worse than this and they made it better. But
Sure.
$8.1 billion in sale. That's a decline from $8.2 billion in 2022, which I guess means with inflation happening, it's probably even a little bit worse than that. So there's a couple of interesting stats here. First of all, 95% of the plant-based eaters who buy these products also report eating conventional meat. So that's a massive amount of the people who buy this. This is not for 90. Vegans. What'd you say?
You said 90?
95.
Well, that's good news, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah. Right. It's not a product for vegans. And like the way to grow it is certainly to reach more people like that. Not more vegans, I don't think. And that's I guess that's good. It is. And they're starting to label the products as better for you and the environment rather than simply plant-based so as not to discourage potential customers, which I think is quite a shift, right? Like when this stuff started, plant-based was a selling point. People were into plant-based. They wanted to have more plant-based stuff. There was probably a huge anti-plant-based contingent back then, but it wasn't as vocal back then for sure. So now they won't even put plant. It's not like we won't put vegan and we'll just put plant-based instead. Now you don't even put plant-based for fear of turning people off. So that's a different market than this stuff has existed in before. The other stuff that is interesting here for me was they said before it was about the price parity thing. And for the past 2 years, we've been talking about price parity. Finally, it happened. And now for the first time ever, I see the phrase taste parity because we solved that one. So now the new gap is taste parity. It's got to be the same taste. Can't just be the same price. And if you can't get taste parity, they're not going to do it. So I don't know. It sounds like moving goalposts to me, and people are just going to never want to eat this stuff. And they're just going to keep on finding a reason why this is next. We're going to need health parity or processing parity. And they're just going to find new parities that we can't get to eventually. And then they'll say, well, we're not going to eat this stuff.
Yeah. Lots of parities. No, I mean, it's honestly not as big of a drop as I anticipated it being. As I thought it would be last year, because it felt like last year, just the bottom fell out of the market.
Right, it did seem like that. That's a good point. Like last year really seemed like the worst year of these things, and it was about the same as the year before, minus inflation difference maybe being kind of masked here or masking this thing. But still, if it's only off by 5 or 10% from the year before, that doesn't seem like that huge of a thing.
No, yeah, and maybe it just kind of like is stabilizing after enormous growth in 2020. But so, I mean, it's not actually all that bad. I mean, I'm sure it feels like bad news for all the companies who were trying to grow and probably invested in, you know, heavily in the last few years. But it doesn't seem like that bad of news to me.
Yeah. It doesn't either. I mean, this doesn't seem like that bad of news. And that is... I guess in a way it's almost positive that the growth is this little and that it doesn't seem so bad here. But I guess I wonder, like, I don't know. I'm kind of joking about like the parodies thing, and like there's always gonna be some new thing that it's not, mm-hmm. and that's why people are gonna keep deciding they're gonna eat regular meat. They mentioned Daring, a plant-based chicken company that has a high-quality frozen product with a very short list of ingredients. Have you tried Daring yet, Doug?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And what do you think of it?
I don't remember thinking all that much about it. So mm-hmm. probably a good thing. I think it got the like chicken strips or something.
Yeah. So that's what I think they make. I don't know. Or at least I've had like the grilled chicken mm-hmm. pieces. It was okay. My kids actually, like, they wouldn't finish the amount we gave them. They didn't like it all that much. Maybe because it wasn't bread or something. I don't know. They just weren't into it. I know Adam, our colleague, he loves it. I've heard him say he's obsessed with Daring. And they have a very short ingredient list according to this article. But like, I guess I don't know that much about the individual companies and what's going on, but I'm just thinking like if Daring solves this problem in many ways, it's one of the best of the chicken substitutes. It's low ingredient list. So like it's pretty close. I guess the price parity is probably not the same, but like, I don't think people are flocking to Daring. I don't think that's like,
right.
You know, some huge bright spot exception. I don't think there are any bright spots or exceptions. Maybe there are a few, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I just keep not knowing where I stand on this stuff. I mean, I tend to be negative on this plant-based meat. And I think the cultivated meat is the hope for saving animals. But I don't know. I mean, that's nothing new, but it's kind of where I am still.
Yeah.
All right. TheHustle.co also wrote an article that says eating more plant-based meats could save the planet. You say, nah, we're good. Nah. Americans don't seem too interested in giving up the beef. They list all these reasons why people understand that it is better for the environment, cutting emissions. Big studies have been done. Contrary to Garuda Legend's claim that going vegan, not necessary for saving the environment and the environment will be fine. They found things that investing $1 trillion in transitioning people away from traditional meats would, according to the Boston Consulting Group, would cut emissions 3 times more than $1 trillion put towards green cement technology, 7 times more than investing the same amount in erecting more green buildings, 11 times more than sinking another $1 trillion into zero emission vehicles. All this sounds good, but this is from Ag Funder News, who, you know, they can't really be trusted. At least they're going to have their own spin on stuff. They say plant-based meats and seafood were down 19% last year. 51% of the U.S. said they've never given them a try. They mentioned Beyond Meat. Market cap has crashed from $12 billion down to $500 million. Impossible Foods' internal stock prices dropped 89%. So they're just kind of piling on here, pointing out that even as people learn more about the benefits of this stuff, they're not biting. So I don't know. Are you ready to declare it dead yet, Doug, or you think there's Impossible Ranch is going to save this?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that Impossible Ranches all over the United States will make a big difference. No, I'm not going to call it dead. I just think that it's never going to take over meat. You know, there was a while where, not that meat would be gone, but like that we were probably discussing in the same way that we're talking about the cultivated meats kind of being blended in with non-cultivated meats for nuggets and school lunches and whatever, you know, that maybe like plant-based meat would begin being added to certain things to, as a cheaper alternative, a cheaper way to like produce some of this high processed meat anyway. Mm-hmm. And that seems to not be the case. I mean, that just seems to not be happening and people aren't adopting it in the same way that I think we all hoped that they would at the beginning, but it'll always be around. I think it'll always, in my opinion, serve a purpose. Will it look the same as it does right now? Maybe not. I don't know about that. Like, are you buying Impossible Whoppers? Like, probably not. Eventually, but to have some sort of meat alternative, even if it's with got like beans and stuff in it, like I think that will.
But like, just for vegans or still for mainstreamers? Like, you think anyone mainstream is going to be eating this stuff in 10 years from now?
Is anyone mainstream eating it now? I mean, I guess so. If 95% of the...
Yeah, well, without that, there's no market for it, basically. So
you think there's no market for it in 10 years? I don't know.
No, I mean, there might be the market. The vegans might go on eating it.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. But like, I don't know. I mean, when was the last time you saw a non-vegan order an Impossible Whopper recently?
Never. I mean, maybe years ago, a curiosity thing. No, but they didn't order a whole one. They wouldn't want that.
I mean, I saw that at the very beginning, people, you'd see people do that. Like my sister would do it. And really? Yeah. Or like, you know, I remember I used to like a couple cookouts that we had where people brought meat, but also grilled up some impossible stuff. Like people would try it and have one.
Mm-hmm.
An impossible sausage.
But much less now.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't think, I mean, now they tried it and they're just going to choose what the.
Yeah. And it's turned into a political thing. Like you, mm-hmm. you can't now, without, I think, being seen as someone who's on that side doing that. And like, that's fine. Some people will be happy to do that. But I think a lot of people who were supposed to have tried this or were supposed to embrace this, you know, would never touch it now because it's become politicized the way it has.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Nothing new there. I mean, it's just what keeps happening. Yeah. All right. Ritter says still have to try Daring. I do have Beyond Sausage on tap for the baseball game this week. Yeah, it's nice that some of that exists. For those situations, it's really nice.
Ritter's also went to a Savannah Bananas game. You ever been to a Savannah Bananas game?
No. I don't even think I've ever heard of that team.
Oh, it's like a show. Like they play a big game of baseball, but they also have they do all these trick things.
Yeah, like a Harlem Globetrotters kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like a Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. Yeah. It's cool.
I have the sense that we talked about a Savannah Bananas thing on the show, but I don't think I would have known that there was this Globetrotters like thing. So that is kind of fun. Yeah. And who do they play against? Just whoever volunteers to go play a goofy?
No, I think they have like a team or two maybe that they always play against.
Ah.
Yeah, because the other team does tricks and stuff too. Like the whole thing it's not choreographed, obviously. It's actual baseball, but there's, you know, hitters on stilts and all kinds of stuff like that.
Wow. What could be better than that?
I mean, it actually looks really fun.
No, it seems kind of fun. I'm just kidding. So Bridges went to that. Where is Bridges from? Bridges, tell us where you live. I didn't think you were anywhere near Savannah. I don't know. I figured Bridges was like a mountain time zoner, like Dale Stevens or Leslie Knight. I don't even know if they are.
Let's talk about the sparkling water, it appears. Anne-Marie's back. Welcome back, Anne-Marie.
Okay. Welcome back, Anne-Marie. She would have loved to go to your Plant Strong event, Doug.
I know. I was hoping she'd be there, you know?
Right. She's been to Black Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, British from Mesa. They play around the country.
Oh. Wow. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
See, I knew British was a mountain time zoner. All right, Gerudo says, the issue why the environmental claim is bogus is because the biggest food waste is veggies and fruit. We need less crops for a better environment. Crop agriculture is the problem. Doug, you would know more about that than I do. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are little pieces that are correct in there. But unfortunately, most of our crop agriculture goes to feed animal agriculture at the moment. So
right, that's always the problem with that argument.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know enough about it to say.
I think that Garuda's gotten more trolly ever the recently. Like what there was something you said earlier that about fake meat. Oh yeah, here we go. It's because people are learning how unhealthy fake meat is and how healthy the more meat you eat is. The more meat you eat is healthier.
I don't know about that.
I don't think you would have said that a couple months ago.
I don't either. And I think the health the anti-health halo around red meat and all that is changing. You're seeing evidence that's saying that small amounts aren't bad, but I don't think the more meat you eat, the better. I don't think that is what's coming. I know there's the whole carnivore movement that believes that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen science that would say that is correct. But I have seen some that points to small amounts not being harmful. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you that much. And I don't know about the health benefits of plant-based meat. We keep seeing different studies come about with those. The most recent one really was kind of neutral. It showed plant-based and regular meats performing about the same. The headlines, of course, grabbed the small areas where regular meat won and ignore the ones where plant meat won. But that one looked like a wash to me. So I'm not here to argue that stuff is healthier than regular meat. I don't think it's healthy in general. But I don't know. I just think the crops are the better choice in general than those things.
The crops. Eat the plants. Eat the crops. Your real plants.
Yep. All right. Mr. Jeffrey says we're getting Trojan horse. Like Garuda, I think, acted nice for a while and now is getting trolly. but that's okay. I don't mind. It's a good conversation. I do appreciate when Gruder shows up because
everyone's
don't want an echo chamber situation here where everyone's like, oh yeah, meat is terrible. It's just, that's the vegan potlucks that I don't go to because they're not fun.
No.
Okay. Good. Well, that's it. We appreciate all of you, including Gruder. Seriously. I like the perspectives. Thank you all for showing up. Thank you for participating. Lots of comments today, like there always are, more than we can keep up with, really, which is really cool that happens. That's all I got. Anything else, Doug, from you today?
No. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with the best show of the week.
That's right. The Sierra show. You're bringing your economic data, Doug. You said you were going to. Oh, you tried already. They haven't responded. Mm-hmm. They haven't given you it.
Yeah, it's coming. Hopefully.
Okay. It's going to be good. Economics.
It was a BBC. I found out it was a BBC World News segment, but it was impossible to find. So they're helping me out. That's
okay. I thought about it more over the weekend. I thought about the supply and demand. I have an even more clear way to make the point. Literally, Econ 101, supply and demand, how the things work with the shift in the demand curve, what it does. And it's like, it's just plain to see. So unless there's some violation of economics going on, and there are, because people aren't always rational actors, like a lot of economics is based on.
Mm-hmm.
But this fundamental stuff, I don't think that's going to change.
I have a feeling that I misunderstood what was being said. That's my guess in the article. But I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. We'll find out as soon as I can get the link.
All right.
I played the, I'm a sustaining member card. And so they're putting in some extra work to, to find it for me.
Great. All right. Britters, that should be out the rest of the week. That's sad. We'll miss you, Britters. You always give us good positive vibes in here. Mm-hmm. So you will be missed. But have a good week wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Okay. That's it. Goodbye. See you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.